You want to open your Bibles to John 3. We'll start reading at verse 1 and go down through 21. John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man does these miracles, and thou dost except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter, or cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he's old? Nor can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it list, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and thou canst tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So in every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know and testify what we've seen, and ye have not received not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall we believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended unto heaven, but he that cometh down from the heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth on not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation of the light is come into the world, that men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the night for the light, for the deeds should be reproved. But thou dost truth cometh unto the light, that this deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I'm in the wrong place to try to read something that small. I think I put down 6 points of emphasis in what we just got through reading, that I think is important to notice and talk about. One of them, he was a Pharisee and a ruler in the Jews. Secondly, he came to Jesus by night, and I think that's important to note. Third, he did not understand about being born again. Fourth, he did not understand the new birth, and that was a spiritual event and not an inherited event. I'll get into more of that in just a minute. And he had more religiously than just sincerely. And six, he did not understand the new birth demand obedience. We'll talk about that. Being a Pharisee meant that he belonged to the ruling council, and we know that to be the Sanhedrin. Also, this was the most strict of the different religious denominational groups, religious groups anyway. They advocated the minute obedience to the Jewish law, as well of their hundreds of traditions. I read somewhere how many, but I forgot to write it down. It's hundreds, 800 or 900 different laws that they commanded, like not to walk more than 3/4 of a mile. At one time, you couldn't even get out of bed. Things like that. They rejected Jesus' claim to be the Messiah because he did not follow all their traditions, and Jesus also associated with notoriously wicked people. The name Pharisees comes from a Hebrew word which means those separated from sinners and lawbreakers. And the Bible says that Nicodemus, whose name means victorious, was a ruler of the Jews. Jesus alluded to him as a teacher of Israel, thus indicating that he was a rabbi of some importance. So we can say that he was highly religious. He dedicated to the Jewish traditions. He evidently knew the law of Moses and the prophets. And from what we read, he evidently was a man of means. It doesn't say how wealthy, but at least a man of means. Two, he came to Jesus by night. Now, the Bible doesn't explain why. We can only come to the conclusion that perhaps he didn't want his peers to know that the other Pharisees to know that he came to Jesus. Or perhaps he wanted just uninterrupted conversation with Jesus. And it could be both of them, you know. Anyway, the Bible says, yes, he believed in God and that Jesus to be from God, and his works were miraculously endowed. Thirdly, did not understand ye must be born again. Nicodemus, along with his Pharisees, believed that his descendants from Abraham and his dedication to the traditions of his father assured him of the divine acceptance into the Mosaical, for the Messiah's kingdom. I'll get it in a minute. Anyway, all he believed is you had to be a descendant of Abraham. Jesus knew that this concept had to be rooted out before Nicodemus could be brought up to see his true condition. Some of us have preconceived ideas that sometimes we have to get rid of before we can see the light, so to speak. Since activity begins at birth, it was necessary for Nicodemus to learn that he was not yet suited for the kingdom of God, having not yet, as a quotation says, being born anew. I believe Nicodemus wanted to know more about this so-called fresh start, or a new beginning, as some would put it, just like you and I do. I want to go home tonight knowing that my sin is forgiven, and I'm sure you do too. I want to know that my past mistakes, or sins if you want to call them that, are removed forever. You do too. So if he needed to know more about born again, why did he not understand when he asked in verse 4, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother womb and be born? He did not understand that Jesus is talking about a spiritual birth and not a physical birth. God's law is always the same. There's natural things and there's physical things and spiritual things. Natural, I mean, being the same as physical. It's physical things and spiritual things. Physical things are those that you can see, those that are tangible. But the Bible calls them temporary. They talk about it like rust, corrode, corrupt, and disappear with time. Spiritual things are things that are eternal. Jesus says spiritual things are like the wind. They're real, but you cannot see them. It's like the wind blowing today. You can't see the wind blowing. You can see what the wind does by looking at the trees blowing in and the grass and stuff. But you see the effects of spiritual things such as love, faith, mercy, hope, forgiveness, and salvation. I think that Jesus said in Matthew 6:19-20 will help us understand when he said, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. In other words, physical things cannot be stored up in heaven. Only spiritual treasures, Therefore, this new birth or a fresh start is a new beginning, is a spiritual event. As Paul explained in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse number 3, and for the next 3 or 4 verses, do you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be redeemed powerless, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So, when does this new birth take place? In Romans 6 it says, New Testament baptism. No, we are not reborn by our good works. We're not reborn by our religious activity. We're not reborn by joining some church. But good works are a result of being born again. We cannot be religious enough or good enough on our own. And I stress that on our own. We must be born again or baptized for the remission of sins. Remember, Nicodemus was 1, a teacher of righteousness. 2, a religious man. 3, rich in good deeds. 3, a good man, but still not in the kingdom of heaven. We can also see that a new birth cannot be inherited, just like Nicodemus thought it could be. Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again. Nicodemus, being a Jew, was a child of Abraham, but he was not in the kingdom. Why? Because he had not been born again by baptism. And as we can see, this fresh start or new baptism has to be a personal choice. And in has to be in response to God. Jesus said there is one birth, but two elements, water and spirit. They are both essential in entering the kingdom. To be saved, one must believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. To be born anew is simply to obey the gospel. One is begotten of the Spirit, or by believing the Word of God, which the Spirit gave, and be born of water to come forth out of baptism. Verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nicodemus had thus far known only the first part, the fleshly part. Now he was about to learn about the second part, which was the spiritual part, in order to enjoy any blessing that he might receive in the new kingdom. Since we cannot see the Spirit expresses itself through the gospel. And that, to us, is the Bible. I'm sure this is a strange message to Nicodemus, but because he considered the Pharisees one of the favored few of Israel, but not yet in the kingdom. In his view, he was born into the kingdom because he was a descendant of Abraham. Jesus said in verse 12, if I tell you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? So in other words, Jesus is telling him that the kingdom cannot be inherited. In other words, Christ or Christianity is not an inherited religion. God doesn't have grandchildren. He has children, us. You and I, those that have been baptized. Our parents may have been Christians, but you and I, must be baptized on our own. We are baptized into Christ after believing the gospel, Hebrews 11:6. Being repented of our sins, Luke 13:3, confess our faith in Jesus, Romans 10:10, and be baptized for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38. Then as we read in Acts 2:47, we're added to His church, which is the spiritual body. One point I'll point right out right here. Remember, even the devils believed. I don't think there'd be anyone in here. That's James 2:19. I don't think anyone in here would say, well, the devils are going to be saved just because they believed. So believing then is not enough. Let's consider three other people. Let's look at Paul. Paul was sincere when he went out and condemned people to death or torture, when, as before he became Saul of Tarsus, to become an apostle. He believed it. He believed what he was doing was right. Then let's look at the Ethiopian eunuch. He was sincere, but he had to have someone go preach to him. Cornelius, you remember him? They said he was a good man, but all of these had to have the gospel preached to them, and then they were baptized. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to judge the world, but the world should be saved through him. Verse 18, but he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In other words, this person who does not believe is judged or condemned already because his unbelief has kept him from doing that thing is necessary to become saved. Mark puts it just a little bit different, but it means the same thing. He says, he that believeth not is damned. I maybe shouldn't have used that word, but it's in the Bible. We see that joining some church won't save you. You've got to be more than that. Nicodemus gave a large sum of money. I don't know where, to charity or some church or what. Doesn't make any difference, but that didn't save him. Going through some religious experiences, some churches will tell you today, some kind of a ritual, you know, like some churches have. That's not enough to save you. Or just by following some religious creed, and that alone will not save you. In 1 Peter 1:22 and 23, we read, seeing you have been purified, cleansed yourself by obeying the truth, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. We notice that being born again is obeying the truth. And we know that God's word is truth, which is his, as I said, his word. In Acts 2:41 through 47, this is Peter's sermon on, or part of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, that to be forgiven of the sins, they had to repent and be baptized, verse 41. And those who accepted his message were baptized and added that day about 3,000 souls. Verse 47 says that the Lord added them to the church, the kingdom of, or the number of people then that were saved. The Lord added to them, they didn't. But what they had to do is confess and be baptized, show their submission to God. Paul said in Galatians 3:26 and 27, for you are all sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, have been clothed with Christ. The question we might ask, have you been born again? Have you been baptized for the remission of sins? Are you ready to experience the fresh start in your life with this new beginning? It's good if to be baptized here in front of the congregation in the baptismal. You can be baptized in Shoal Creek. You can even be baptized in a hot tub if you got one big enough. It doesn't have to be the preacher. It would be nice if the preacher did it, but your father, if he's a Christian, could do it. One more point I'd like to bring up, too. If you're children of God, do you need to confess your sins before the congregation? And some people just don't understand that. If you sin, and one other person knows it, then you go to that person and talk to them and ask them to forgive you. If you sin, say, I'd get out and get drunk and get my name in the paper, everybody's going to know it then. So then I need to confess before the congregation that I sin. That's the difference. If you sin to where a lot of people know it, That's when you need to confess before the congregation. If you sin just with one person or just maybe you alone, just go to the bedroom, shut the door, and have a quiet talk with God. Pray to Him, forgive you your sins. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as He in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, continues to cleanse us from all sin." That's the end of my lesson. I thought it good that we maybe after we get through with talking about different denominations, maybe we could talk about different people in the Bible. And I started out with Nicodemus. There's not that much known about him. Like I said, it's just mentioned in three places in John. And John 3 talks the most about him, so we got up a lesson for that. And if you have other suggestions, be sure and put them in the suggestion box. The invitation is yours. If you want to come forward and confess your sins or be baptized for the remission of sins, we urge you to come as together we stand and sing.